This is the Magic Mod, and you're listening to the Oasis Podcast.
Welcome to the Oasis Podcast, episode 21. As you heard at the start today, we are going to be interviewing the Magic Mod, Ben Taylor, the rock and roll's favourite musician. And I met up with him in a pub in Soho, which is really cool to meet him. It was nice to do a live interview rather than these sort of telephone and Skype ones, so that was really good fun. And I hope you really enjoyed the interview. It was really good. We talked a bit about him meeting Liam, him meeting Weller. It's not just like a lot of people who've met these people once now. I mean, it sounds like he's actually in and really good mates with Weller and Steve Craddock and a lot of Carl Barrett and a lot of very cool people. So I hope you really enjoyed the interview with Ben, and make sure you check him out at Taylor Mod. Check out his DVD. And so that's really good fun. Last weekend, the weekend like the 21st, I was over at Truck Festival. And I recorded a few bits and pieces on the hoof over there. And so we're going to, after this brief musical interlude, we're going to cross over me a week ago in a muddy field in Oxfordshire.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic. I'll tell you about the magic and the free of soul, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about a rock and roll. If you believe in magic, don't bother to choose if it's junk and music.
Welcome to the Oasis Podcast. I am currently stood in an extremely muddy field in the middle of South Oxfordshire. This is the local festival to where I live. It's called Truck Festival. It started 20 years ago in 1997. I almost played it, but not quite, because my band wasn't quite good enough. Actually, a group of mates that I was friends with at the time, a bunch of girls, they played it. And that power to the people is indicating that the Libertines are about to come on in a sec. But just to give you an idea, on the Friday, yesterday, I came for a bit. I watched a bit of a band called The Big Moon, who are great. And they did an awesome cover of Beautiful Stranger by Madonna. So let's have a little bit of that here. So yeah, Big Moon were great yesterday. I really enjoyed them. Very much an Elastica sort of sound. Loads of changes in rhythm and time signature and stuff. Really interesting band. So make sure you check out those guys. And then basically, Franz Ferdinand were headlining. But I didn't go because it rained too much and I left. So I'm back here today. I've seen a couple of good bands so far. There's a band called Get Inuit who are very good. Had kind of a Weezer sort of vibe. I wasn't very happy about the fact that the bass player and the guitar player kind of had long hair, so that wasn't a good thing. You've got to have cool short hair. Anyway, here come the Libertines. I'm going to check in later.
Yeah.
So that's the Libertines playing in the background. It's kind of weird. It's a very underwhelming experience. I'm not quite sure what it is. Maybe it's, I don't know, it's the, it's not really working. I mean, we'll see what happens. Maybe when they get to near the end of the set and they play some big tracks, but there doesn't appear to be much, not really talking to the crowd at all. Pete's kind of little boy lost routine is sort of a bit weird. There's been times when he's kind of deliberately not singing or not playing guitar, and kind of Carl's trying to hold it together, and it's like, is that an act or is he actually off it a little bit? Or I don't know. Let's go on and see what happens. So that was the Libertines. They encored "Don't Look Back Into the Sun," and it was it was good. And people started to get a bit more into it. And at the end, Pete threw his guitar down, and then he jumped on Carl, and it was all a bit rehearsed. To be honest, I don't know. Didn't grab me at all today. So, a bit disappointing because, you know, they are a legendary band. They're one of the greatest of the definitely of the 21st century, but disappointed to be seeing them like that. But anyway, there we go. So I'm here with, what's your name, sorry?
Nick.
And you're the first Oasis t-shirt I've seen today, which is cool to see. How come you're still rocking Oasis t-shirts? What's going on?
Because the sound of Oasis has never been more relevant than in today's age of fickle and thin, useless, come-and-go disposable bands. You need albums like Definitely Maybe to still be getting played through campsites.
Yes, man. Yes, mate. So we've just been seeing Slutface. I thought they were really good. What do you think?
Yeah, I liked them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they were very good, yeah.
And who are you up for seeing? So we've got Maximo Park, Vaccines,
and Honeyblood. Do you know them?
Yes,
Scottish
mate.
Girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where we're going. Two-Piece as well.
Two-Piece, yeah. So looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah.
And we're just going to watch the Dream Inspires, who started the band, who started Truck Fest.
Absolutely, when they were Gold Rush. So are you local? Are you from around here?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Oxford.
Oh, okay. All right, because I'm Didcot, just down the road, so... Cool. All right, man. Well, good to speak to you anyway.
Just another note. Nick Lawrence was in the first band to ever play on Truck Festival as well.
What band was that?
Merlin. They were called Merlin. And that was in 1998 on the stage.
Oh, fair play. All the best.
Nice to meet you.
Cheers. See you later. See you, man.
Is
So we are at 5:30 on Sunday afternoon. It's been raining a little bit, but it stopped. And now the sun is out and it's absolutely gorgeous. Which is quite tricky because I'm wearing like a huge jumper and a huge jacket and waterproof trousers because it's a complete mud bath still. Really, it hasn't recovered from the Friday, all the rain we had on Friday. So who have we seen? So we saw Slopface on the market stage, and they were really good. Like I said on Twitter, they're like a punkier Cardigans, but yeah, she was great. The lead singer, a couple of like handsome looking kind of Norwegian sleeper blokes flanking her, and then yeah, really good. At one point, she took a big drink of water and spat it over the crowd. So let's have a little bit of Slopface here. After Slutface on the other stage was Girl Ray, who were pretty good. It was difficult to follow Slutface because they're a lot more sort of melodic and chilled out, so it wasn't quite as in your face and exciting as Slutface, which is quite hard. But they were good. It was good. It was very tuneful stuff. Her voice had kind of a Velvet Underground, Nico kind of quality to it, and it was good. And then we caught a bit of Dreaming Spires on the main stage, which was the guys that were in Gold Rush that set this thing up 20 years ago. And that was all right. That was nice, sort of chilled out, Americana-style, blissed-out music. And then we had a bit of a gap until Cabbage on the main stage. Now, Cabbage have kind of come on my radar recently from supporting Stone Roses. And then they might have supported the Charlatans as well. So they're not a Manchester band, because they're from just like 8 miles outside Manchester, but they are, for all intents and purposes, a Manchester band. And very punky, very like The Fall, like The Pistols, but aggressive and political and Joy Division-y. Yeah, really good, really like them. Pretty weird, messed up sort of band, so I like a bit of that. And another one in the long line of great Manchester bands, or bands from near Manchester anyway. The next one I'm really looking forward to is Honey Blood, and we've also I'm expecting at Noel Wares, the guy that runs the Twitter account for that, that is a friend of mine, but we keep his identity secret, so he's going to be on the way in shortly. We might check out some Honey Blood, and then we've got Maximo Park Vaccines to come, so check in later.
I'm
So yeah, that was Truck Festival 2017. I think for me, what it all came down to was that the bigger bands generally sort of disappointed a bit. I can't speak for Jaguar Ma and Franz Ferdinand from the Friday night because I went home, but on the Saturday night, yeah, the Libertines didn't really do it for me. And then similarly on the Sunday night, Maximo Park and then the Vaccines. I don't know. It just wasn't special. I don't quite know why. I mean, maybe it's just the sort of festival it is. It's kind of a, you know, small family festival. A lot of younger, you know, kids in their sort of teens, early 20s that maybe don't even really know those bands. And yeah, and so it didn't have the same atmosphere as when you go and see a band that, you know, that you are going to watch Maximo Park or the Vaccines, and you're surrounded by fans, all of whom love, you know, every song, you can sing along to every word. I mean, with all those three sort of big sort of 2000s bands, I don't know, it just didn't quite grab me. However, the smaller bands, and especially like female bands, female fronted bands, were great and really enjoyable. So, you know, The Big Moon, as I said, Slutface, Honeybloods, who I mentioned briefly, but yeah, checked quite a bit of them out. They were very good. So some really interesting bands. And as I'm recording this on the Friday, the 28th, it's just been announced that Big Moon have been nominated for the Mercury Prize, which is great, and I really hope they win. And I definitely hope Ed Sheeran doesn't win. And then the only other band that I mentioned but we didn't play a little bit of was a band called Get Inuit, and they're really definitely worth checking out. So let's have a little bit of them, and then after this we'll go into my interview with the Magic Mod. So, welcome to the Oasis podcast, The Magic Mod. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm very well. Yourself?
Yeah, good. So your name, you were christened on your birth certificate, yeah? First name The, middle name Magic.
And then Mod after, yeah. You know, and then I thought a couple of years down the line, I changed it to Ben Taylor, you know, okay. Have a proper name.
Fair enough. Yeah, it would have been tricky in nursery and stuff, wouldn't it?
Mate, I would have got bullied.
No, but God bless you. I mean, it's cool that you go out there and say, yep, Mod, you know, and you've got it. It's in, you know, you say about where you influence on your sleeve, it's literally on your business card, you know. Oh, it's
my brand now, you know what I mean. It's like my mum and dad have always been well into the mod scene, so it just felt right. I was always into the mod scene,
yeah,
never got out of it really, you know. Yeah, since I was a youngster watching Quadrophenia, all mod cons, the jam changed my life, and it just fitted in so nicely, because that's the best, in my opinion, mod is the best style there is, you know, and it just looks so slick. And what else is cool, you know, as well as dressing cool, you walk into a room, you pull out a few card tricks, hang about, you're the talk of the town. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's you got going on at the moment, mate? Obviously your DVD was was pretty big.
I've brung one in my bag, but I realised we're just talking, so I can't really bring it out.
Here's my DVD.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a bit shit, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. But it's gone really well. You know, I did a premiere out in Ireland with it. Ali McKenzie's the director, and he wanted me to go over to his hometown. We did a big premiere and it hit off. And then I did a premiere in the Amersham Arms, which was amazing. Great crowd, had some great bands on. And it's just really going well, you know. I've had the sales have just gone out the roof for me. I weren't expecting it. Well, you know, I wasn't expecting 10 people to buy it.
Yeah,
like, quite a few, you know, a lot of people buy it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just, it's madness.
And it's all been like self-published. It's not through like thinking music terms, like not through like a label.
No. See, I've always done everything off my own back, because I've you know, I've seen stuff like, for instance, look at what happened to the Small Faces and all that, you know what I mean? We've all gone into record labels and that. So I don't really, at the moment, I'm quite happy with doing it all on my own. Yeah. So, you know, the director, Ali, he's been promoting it. I've even had, like, Paul Weller's website was promoting it because he's featured in the documentary. Vicky McClure helped me out, she promoted it.
Yeah.
Andy Croft, Secret, load of people, which is brilliant for me because it's... You know, it was a dream come true. If anything, I thought, oh, well, I've got a DVD for the shelf. But to actually sell it and for people to, you know, email me and tweet me and all that and say, wow, you know what, this is good. It's an amazing feeling. Absolutely amazing feeling.
But and you do a lot of live stuff, right? As well,
oh,
right? So
yeah,
So you'll take something. You got something with you to physically,
you know,
take out and about.
If people like my show... and they like what they see, then they can... It's a bit like a band, you know. Then they can buy a CD after. If they don't like it, then, you know, they can carry on watching Dynamo and, you know, watch that shit. But it's good. It's been hitting off really well. Like I said, the thing is with me, everything I do at the moment is a dream come true.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, I could never have imagined it going the way it has. So I'm still... It's still... Everything's happening, but I can't believe it's happening at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's like I have to keep pinching myself and think, wow, did that happen?
Yeah. But everyone says that. All the bands say that, you know.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Because everyone, no one, unless you're like the kid of a famous person, or something, you're not, you think, well, that's what other people do. Other people can live that life. And I just have to do a 9-to-5. But yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
Definitely. I mean, I think it keeps me really down to earth because I've seen... I never want to be a big-headed person in my life because I know the people out there, the ones who you're trying to impress, they're the ones who can make or break you.
Yeah.
So I'm always myself. I don't pretend to be anyone else.
I need to be myself.
I was going to do that then, but I thought, no, better not.
Sounds familiar,
but
man.
But you know what I mean? It's... Everything I do is... I don't act up to the cameras, I don't act up when I'm doing interviews, when it comes to doing stuff on the TV, when it comes to anything, I'm just myself.
Yeah.
And it's helped me a long way.
Yeah.
Because people think, oh, you slip into a character or you go into something else. Nah. What you see live is what you see if you met me after having a beer or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's always the same.
Yeah. Well, actually, Ben did turn up wearing a tracksuit. And he just went and changed in the toilets, and now he's quite smartly dressed.
In fairness, it was a feeler tracksuit, so that was all right, wasn't it? You know, that was all right.
No. Well, taking it back, mate. So, whereabouts did you grow up?
I grew up in Costa del Crawley, which is it's in between Brighton. It's a lovely place. In fairness, you know, I love it. You know, I mean, growing up, there was never any trouble there. Mm-hmm. There was never anything. You know, I mean, I would have... London, I'm always in London. Everything I do is in London. But Crawley, I loved it. And I always took my cards to school. I went to school there. And what a tune, by the way.
Yeah. Bittersweet Symphony's just come on, by the way.
It's, it was brilliant. I like it there a lot. I still live there.
Yeah.
Still live there. And I'm hardly ever in, because I'm always out doing shows. Always out and about.
Yeah,
it's more time in a hotel room than it is in my own room, really. You can never beat your own bed, really, can you? You know what I mean?
No. And so when do you... So how old are you? Like, what was
26. 27 next Friday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Well, it's not yet, though, is it? So
no,
you wait till next Friday.
I'll release this next Thursday or whatever, and I'll edit.
Yeah, 29th of July, 27.
All right, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that feeling?
It's weird, really, because it's... I feel like I've achieved a lot in a short space of time, if that makes sense. But I still know I've got loads and loads to offer.
Yeah.
But age is just a number. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's it's how you feel inside.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean, I feel like I'm 18 again, really. You know, I really do.
Yeah. But you have to realise that most people listening to this are like in their 30s, 40s anyway. So this is the, you know, so you are especially being a Maud and being a big Britpop fan as well. You know, you're 10 years later. I mean, I'm 37, so I'm...
I had it all on record though, so I'm all right.
Did you? That's all right then. But I mean, what was big for you growing up? I mean, you mentioned that your folks were into Maud stuff.
Yeah, well into the Jam. I mean, like I said, the Jam, the Small Faces, the Kinks, the Who. Everything like that. I liked my Scar as well, the Specials, Bad Manners, Madness. So it, you know, everything like that. I was just like sort of brainwashed into it.
Yeah.
But I loved it. It wasn't they forced me to listen to it. I'd hear it and I thought, I really like that. And then all of a sudden I'm listening to it, I'm wearing the clothes and I'm into the scene. Before I know it, I'm a Mod.
Yeah.
You know, I never... I mean, what else is there? I mean, I don't really like the... the chavvy little tracksuits and all that, listening to Stormzy and riding a push bike with a little French basket in the back and all that. It doesn't really suit me. I've always wanted to be like, I don't know, I've always liked to be different and be in the centre of attention and that, and looking cool. Definitely. Yeah, so it just fitted in so well.
And how did that work though? So as a teenager then, that's like mid-2000s, so we're talking, there was a bit of kind of a Britpop resurgence. It wasn't called Britpop, but you had Friends, you had Kaisers.
You still had The Enemy, didn't you?
Enemy.
I think The Rifles were still knocking about.
The Rifles,
about,
pretty, maybe early for The Rifles. Yeah, yeah, probably around then. Yeah, so I suppose there was...
It was a little bit, you know. I like The Enemy a lot. Why you can't get no sleep when you've got nothing to do and you've had nothing to eat. Your life's slipping and sliding right out of you, and there's absolutely nothing that you can do. Well, we'll live and die in these towns. Don't let it drag you down, don't let it drag you down now. I did like The Enemy a lot, but I was always going to listen to
just
different
the older stuff.
Stuff
anyway.
I was always going to listen to the older stuff that people wouldn't listen to in college. And that. I used to have one of them Walkmans, you know, the cassettes, and I had
with an actual cassette.
I had I think it was my mum's or something. I used to take it to school. And I used to listen to What's the Story Morning Glory on it. I used to have that on cassette. And I had, what else did I have? I had a little bit of the Blur, but I was never really a massive Blur fan.
No.
I liked a few of their songs, but it's easy listening, if you know what I mean.
If it's on,
I'll listen to it, but I wouldn't go out my way to go out and buy one. Obviously, The Verve, I listened to a lot of that. Yeah. I used to listen to Stone Roses a lot. He's always going to listen to different stuff to the kids at school.
Yeah.
So while they're like playing hopscotch or whatever, listening to like Steps and S Club 7, I'm sitting in the corner shuffling my cards, listening to, you know, like Fool's Gold.
That's awesome, man. And what about Oasis? You got a first memory of Oasis? Or I suppose they were always there in your life.
They were, to be fair, they always were. And I mean, I think, I know it's so cliche, but I think one of the first ever songs in my memory was like Wonderwall, really, the one that really stuck out. It's not my favourite, because, you know, it's the typical, you go up to any, you like Oasis, what's your favourite song? Wonderwall, of course you do. But there's so many, it's like picking your favourite Oasis song, it's like picking your favourite child if you had one. Or picking your favourite mum or dad or whatever.
It's impossible.
You can't do it, you know. I could say, like today, my favourite song's Gas Panic, and then tomorrow it could be like, I don't know, Little James or something like that. It's not, but you know what I mean? Probably a couple of years down the line or something, but. Yeah, it's, every song they've done for me, it's just been amazing.
Yeah,
you know, it's, and I can listen to it every day, and it wouldn't get bored of it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm always listening to them. I've got most of their stuff on vinyl. I love vinyl. You know, I don't like CDs or. It's amazing having everything on the phone as well, Spotify and that. But to me, vinyl, and you're reading the sleeve, and you've got like a bit of art in front of you, haven't you?
Yeah,
no better feeling. But no, I've always loved them, and they've been a massive, massive influence on my life as well as, you know, like the whole swagger and the way they dress, and just the lyrics as well. They're beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And for everything they've done and the way they went about it, it was just, it was amazing.
Well, it's just another level, isn't it?
That's
the thing. Like, you've got bands like, I love people like the Charlatans, even like the Roses, but Oasis, just to have that confidence to go like, no, that's not good enough for us.
No.
We're taking it. Stratospheric.
It's one of them overnight things, wasn't it? It's like, oh, we're going to be a band. Next thing you know, boom.
Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, watching that Supersonic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Watching that, I was just had tears in my eyes when they come out and they did the, when he come out and he said, like, Noel, come back. They were all eating a curry or something, weren't they?
Yeah.
And then Noel come back and he wrote Supersonic or something.
Yeah, he wrote it.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, how talented must you be to do that? I mean, I couldn't write a song in 2 weeks, let alone 2 minutes.
Yeah. Someone had sent out for Chinese or fish and chips or something, or Chinese fish and chips. I went in the back room and, as bizarre as it sounds, wrote Supersonic in about however long it takes six other guys to eat a Chinese meal.
And he came back in the room with us and he said, look, just written another song. And we nailed it and mixed it that night, rapid, because that's what we've been doing every night in the boardwalk, you know? And it sounded massive.
Give it up for Oasis, making their TV debut with Supersonic.
I need to be myself.
We'd done gigs before that, and there were people coming along because they'd read about us in the press, but nobody knew any of the songs. On the day that Supersonic came out, bang, the crowd were right there, and I remember people singing the lyrics to Supersonic. You know, they're singing your words back that you nonsensically wrote down at fucking 3 o'clock in the morning.
That was just amazing. Watching that documentary,
yeah,
just really opened my eyes even more to my love of the band and,
yeah,
and probably, in my opinion, one of the best bands in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, you know, they're timeless.
Yeah, it was beautifully done as well. And I've sort of talked on this about how it annoyed me that it ended at Nebworth, right? It's like, yeah, come on, man, where's the other 13 years? But if they tried to cram in 20 years into 2 hours,
oh, of course,
it would have been like, you would have missed
overkill,
you know, all that. You would have missed, like, the, you know, the Whiskey a Go-Go when they're all on meth, you know, like all those like cool, all those really great little scenes that they actually had the time. You know what I thought was great? The fact that, like, they gave so much to Noel, right, disappearing on the tour and then going off and talk tonight and meeting her name wasn't mentioned on the thing, but it's Melissa Lim.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that's great. You know,
that was cool.
If that was a 2 hour, like, retrospective of the whole band, you wouldn't have found out about that.
Of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't know the bits that you wanted to know and everything. Yeah. I thought it was amazing. So well done. And the bit that I loved was when they were all on the ferry, going over. Noel was, like, ringing up McGee or something, he said, oh, everyone's been arrested. He's like, oh, fucking brilliant.
Great, right, yeah.
That's amazing.
I know.
Oh,
that's the thing. I mean, it so annoys me now that you go to, like, I've given up with, like, the Brit Awards and, like, the MTV Awards.
There's no point.
Because you watch it and it's like Ed Sheeran or someone gets up and, like, oh, I want to thank my agent and I want to thank my manager. And you're like,
Ed Sheeran.
Shut up.
Who's she?
But, you know, you want someone to get up and just say, yeah, we're the best band in the world. Shove it up. That's what you want. You know, you don't want some, like, oh, I want to thank God and I want to thank my agent.
It's getting too much. End of the day, I want someone out there who's edgy and who's fiery to say, look, do you know what? I've wrote these songs. This is what I've done. You all love me. I'm the best.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Not, you know, as arrogant, but I mean, it's what you need in the whole music world, don't you? You need someone really edgy and who's not scared to say what they want to think, and that's where Liam is the best ever, because he doesn't give a fuck, really, does he? I mean,
well, you've just met him, haven't you, as well? Oh, so tell me about that.
It was at this this feeling TV sponsored by Red Stripe. That weren't a plug, that was just saying it was sponsored by.
But Red Stripe, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, that's absolutely fine.
Is it available on this? Oh, no, of course they can't see. I was going to get a cat. But, it was there. And I was with Carl Barat. And I was chatting with him. I've known Carl for quite a while, and we were having a good chat. And I looked over my shoulder. I was like, oh, fuck me. That's Liam, innit? And he's like, yeah, man, yeah, yeah. And he walked past. He's like, all right, see you later, lads. See you later, lads. I was like, Jesus, I've missed an opportunity. I thought, I ain't going to see him now, am I? Because, like, I've always wanted to meet him, and when it's unexpected, it's the best feeling, because you don't know how you're going
to
feel. I wasn't ready at all.
It
was just there. So anyway, I think some press photographer or something wanted a picture of Liam with Carl. So Carl ran out the back. He come back and he grabbed me, and we went round the back, and Liam's just sitting there on this chair, fagging his hand, just chatting. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, how fucking cool are you?
Yeah.
Like, wow,
so
serious.
What year is this?
This was this year. This was maybe three, four months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. And it, seriously, we're chatting there. And Carl was like, oh, this is Ben. He's the magic mod. He's like, I can't do his accent, so I'll probably just embarrass him if I tried. But he's like, fucking hell, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. Magic mod. What are you, in a band? And I'm like, No, I'm a magician. He's like, fucking love magic. Show me a trick, man. So I showed him a trick, and he was like, yeah, that was all right. You got another one. And I did another one. And it just fucking blew his mind. He was like, oh yeah, yeah, that's the bollocks, mate. That is the bollocks, he was saying. And we were chatting. He was like, why magic? I said, because I've always wanted to do something that, you know, makes people happy, makes people smile, and people talk about it and love it. He went, yeah, that's why I, that's, you know, that's a bit like me, mate, he said. And I was like, I can't play guitar. I'll make a better sound if I threw it down the stairs. And he was like, he had a fag. He went, yeah, it's a bit like me too. And I was like, yeah, yeah. But it was amazing. It was and he was just so lovely. He didn't want it. Nothing was too much. You know, I stood with him for ages and we were chatting about music. I didn't want to talk about my love for Oasis because, it, you know, it must be the... I didn't bring it up. He brought up music, if anything. And it was just amazing. And then we were talking about magic and then just talking about stuff in general. And it was brilliant. And then he shot off and I was like, oh no, don't go. Don't go away. See what I did there? But it was amazing. He was such a lovely bloke. And he had time for everyone. I mean, the girl that, as I was doing tricks to him, a photographer was taking pictures. But I wanted a picture on my phone for a personal one. And I was like, is it all right for a picture? And he was like, oh yeah, fucking yeah, come on man, yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. I was buzzing after that. I was tweeting it out and everything, texting everyone, and then all of a sudden my phone was like boom boom boom, notifications, this, that, oh amazing, boom, but what's he like. And it was one of the loveliest people I've ever met in my life, and it's a memory I'd take that to the day I die, you know what I mean. I'll tell my kids, my grandkids, whatever. I'll never forget that, and hopefully there'll be a few more of them.
Cool. Well, what about Weller as well? Weller, right?
Yeah, wow, that was another one that for me was that had to be the pinnacle, really. I mean, that was amazing, you know. I was
so
on a night out.
That's backstage, yeah. Is it?
Yeah, but the whole story was I was on a night out and I got a text saying, Mrs. Paul Weller, I would like to meet you and see your magic. I've heard a lot about you.
So you phoned up your mate and said, piss off.
Well, I nearly did. But I was saying, nah, this ain't right. My mates, I was saying, this ain't right. And they were like, well, I don't know, it could be. I was like, nah. So I gave it a couple of hours and then I text back. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, cool. And then on the Monday, I met him, met his lovely family, and he opened me with, it was like I've always ever, it's like I've known him my whole life.
No,
we didn't, you know, I didn't stutter. It was just an amazing feeling.
So how did he know of you then? How did he?
There's a lovely guy and a British actor called Johnny Harris, who's in Jawbone. And I've known, he come to one of the gigs I was doing with Steve Craddock. I've known Steve for a long time now. And Johnny come down, I was doing tricks with him, and I gave him a business card, and I think he went and had coffee a couple of days later with him, Mark Baxter and Paul Weller. And then the next thing I know, I've got a text, and next thing I know, I'm around his house. And then I did two nights in Hammersmith with him, like doing magic around the like auditorium, backstage, mingling in with the fans. And then I did a night in Brighton as well, and it was just surreal to say that. And then Andy Crofts was doing a documentary called One, which was like a year on the road. And it was he asked me, he said, do you want to be involved doing magic? Oh yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah,
well, I'm a bit busy, mate. Actually, I'm doing a wedding on Tuesday. So.
I think he said to me, "We can't get Dynamo, so do you fancy coming down and doing it?" No, and it, because I've got on with everyone in that band. You know, it's like a family. It really is. Awesome. They've always opened me up whenever I go down there to the recording studio. They're always giving me open arms. You know what I mean? It is a family, and they're the most loveliest people, and they're so talented as well. You don't realise how talented people are until you see them in the studio relaxing and they're talking to you, and next thing you know they're playing something and you think, Jesus Christ, how'd they do that? Like, oh my God, that is unbelievable. But then they said that's the same as when I do magic, you know, it blows their minds. And for me, whenever I go to the studio, it just blows my mind. And I was there while he was writing his new album, and I was there when the actual album got recorded. Wow. And for me, that is the most amazing feeling ever. So when I bought that album, it was how do I explain it? It was just a really emotional feeling, because I was thinking I was there when this was being done. And I was, ooh. But when I first heard his songs, wow. When I first heard them, like, recording and practicing, it was just amazing.
I know what you think around here. About me. I'm so alive.
satellite kid.
You block out everything and you think, is this really happening?
Yeah. And is this surreal? Is this bloke in front of me the same guy that did the jam, the Star Council, you know, Wildwood? Yeah.
Unbelievable. What a lovely fella. What a lovely bloke. His whole family have been so nice to me. And they love what I do, and of course I love everything he does,
that's awesome.
Which is brilliant, and it is just a dream come true.
Yeah.
Which I can't, you know, I know I keep saying it, it's the whole cliche when someone does something, they think, oh, you know, it's a dream come true. But for me, I can't say it enough. This really is an actual dream come true. I am living a dream.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's talk about the magic then. So did you grow up with magic? I know you've picked out, like, probably not like a mod icon, but a magic icon, certainly in Paul Daniels. I'm 10 years older than you, and, like, you know, so I remember the Paul Daniels magic show being the number one show on TV on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Forget Ant and Dec, like, you know, that might get 8 million viewers. This got 20 million viewers, right? The biggest show on TV for like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, he did what no other magician, I think, can do, really, and that was to what you said, the ratings speak for themselves. Mm. And it was, obviously, growing up, the whole story was, when I was 6 years old, my mum and dad got me a Paul Daniels magic set, and from that moment, as soon as I lifted the lid, it really did change my life. And it was something I've always wanted to do. The first feeling of showing your mum and dad a trick as soon as you learn it, nothing will come close to that. It was brilliant seeing, oh, wow, yeah, that was good, do it again. And then before you know it, it's bloody hell, you're getting good. And then it's... Oh, that's a bit special, you know, every reaction's better the more you practice, and it was just getting to a point where I thought, I want to do this for the rest of my life, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, you know, and I hope more successful things come my way, you know, touch wood. It's something I couldn't imagine my life without magic and music.
No.
You know, it really is the most amazing thing I've ever done.
Yeah. No, well, that's the coolest thing. It's like we said on text before we met up, it's like, you know, that's it. If you're doing this, if that's your full-time job, you're living the dream. That's it. If you are getting paid to do the thing that you love...
It's not a job.
It isn't. That's it.
You know, a lot of people say that. If you get paid for doing something you love, you don't have to work a day in your life.
No.
So I never call it work, because it isn't.
You'd be doing it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I work as hard as I can. I mean, I hope people see that, you know, on the social media and stuff. I try and get myself out there so much. You know, I still practice about 3-4 hours a day, religiously. And I just try and better myself to be better than anyone else out there. You know, if it isn't for the tricks, then I hope it's... The thing about me is I love having a laugh as I do it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of magicians are a bit boring and they're a bit dry. They do a trick and they look at you like, and their facial expressions don't change. Me, I'm a bit like Tommy Cooper, Paul Daniels, and like David Blaine, all split into one. Mm. You know, I've got the personality and everything. Oh, God, yeah, without a doubt. But I'm all about having a laugh and... if I'm having fun, people are going to have fun too.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it's all about. Every gig I do, I treat it as if it's my last one, even though I've got bookings coming up. I always treat it as the last one, because you don't want to go into one gig and do it and think, oh yeah, it's all right, I've got more gigs. Nah, forget that. I want to do it as if it doesn't matter if Liam's in front of me or Paul or anyone. It doesn't matter who's in front of me. I'm going to treat every gig the same.
Yeah.
And that's how I do it.
And so when you say gigs, do you do a mixture of stuff?
So,
actual shows on the stage, shows. Doing then public appearances, like you're saying about the at the, you know, because obviously sleight of hand is so brilliant in front of people, isn't it?
Of course it is. And that's it. I mean, obviously I do a lot on the social media and that, so I want to try and interact with as many people as I can. You know, because some people, I get people saying, "Oh, I'd love to come to one of your shows," but they live like in Australia or the USA, and I'm thinking, bloody hell, this is crazy. So I try and do a lot of stuff on social media, but I do a lot of shows where I'm going around mingling in with the crowd, or I do a lot of corporate dos. I do done a few stage shows as well, which have they've gone down a real storm, because I just love it's like you are the front man then, aren't you? No one else is with you, you're the front man, you're on the stage, everyone's looking at you, just don't mess it up. It's amazing though, I love it. There's nothing else like it.
I loved it. So just to give you, I watched, I remember seeing Paul Daniels as a kid, and then the big one for me, though, that I don't think gets mentioned as much, is David Copperfield.
Yeah.
Right. David Copperfield was like, I remember thinking as a kid, yeah, I know magic's not real, but David Copperfield, he is actually real. Like, I saw him fly. Right, I saw him disappear the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
He did those things. You know, but you talk about a show. That guy put on a show. Mm. Right?
I mean, his bank balance says it all, really. Yeah, I think he's the most... He's the most paid magician in the world, you know what I mean? He's worth an absolute fortune, and he's earned that because he makes up his own tricks. He's still doing, I think he's got his own place in Vegas where he's putting on shows 7 days a week.
Yeah.
He is killing it, and it's something he's always loved, and he's never shied away from that. But I think the reason a lot of people, you know, everyone talks about your David Blaines and that and other magicians, but I don't think a lot of people talk about him as much is because I think he's a bit different with his style. It's a bit weird and creepy and that. And a lot of magicians like David Blaine took that on.
Yeah.
But because he's a modern day magician, people are going to think, oh, David Blaine's better than David Copperfield. But Copperfield probably did everything Blaine does now.
Yeah. Well, that was brilliant. So it wasn't like Blaine. That was more like a reaction to what Copperfield was doing, because Copperfield was like bigger,
massive.
And then playing with street magic was like, no, let's get it right back down to like, you know, stuff like, and then you get all the so I remember seeing the David Blaine stuff when that first came out and being amazed by it, and also like but then when the whole documentary show would come on, Secrets of Street Magic Reveal,
that
basically just say, well, look, this is how he did it, which is a bit of a shame. But I mean, how do you feel about that when they
do you know how I feel? It doesn't really, well, sometimes it bothers me, but sometimes it don't. It depends, because most of the tricks I do are tricks that you wouldn't, let me explain it a bit better. It's old tricks, because I dig deep right into the archive of magic and then I change them so they suit my personality and suit my way. So most of the tricks I do, a lot of people say, how'd you do that? How's this? How's that? The stuff they do that they're revealing on the streets or on the TV, it's like the, I don't know, they're really the big tricks, aren't they? Like walking through like a glass or, you know, disappearing the Statue of Liberty, stuff like that. But card tricks, I mean, put it this way, between me and you, if you went on YouTube and typed in how to do card tricks, anyone could learn it.
Yeah.
Of course it will. But then again, I always say this because sometimes people say, you pay this for a magician, and I think, well, you know what I mean? You're not just paying for that, you're paying for the experience, you're paying for the history, you're paying for everything. Or you could pay, like, I don't know, much more cheaper and get someone who's just learned it off YouTube who will probably mess up, ruin your night and this and that. You know, it's one of them, isn't it?
It's not just the ability to do the trick, is it? It's like everything that goes around it.
It's everything.
It's the same thing if you said to someone like, oh, right, well, you could just go on YouTube and look up chords of how to write a song. Well, Live Forever.
Exactly. You know? A lot of people are like that. You know, I get at gigs all the time. I can do a trick. Okay, that's really nice. Yeah, thank you. I pull out a deck of cards. I get someone to sign a card, and they go, I've seen this trick. And I'm thinking, all right, what happens then? Oh, no, it's all right. You carry on. I know what's happening. I'm thinking, fucking hell, you must be good. I don't even know what I'm going to do yet. I'm winging it.
But there's supposed to be like 10,000 tricks for the signing
card.
There's
millions of tricks. But as soon as you get someone to sign the card, it's the magician's joke. Someone to say, oh, I've seen this trick before. And you think, Jesus Christ, this is truth, if I've had a penny for every time someone said that, or half a penny, I'd probably have about, I don't know, £655 in my pocket. That would be a fortune, seriously.
Thank you for that exact confirmation.
Carol Vorderman, a bit of maths there.
Yeah.
But no, it's serious. It's every time you do something, people are always trying to put you down in that. Because they think a magician is going to try and make people look stupid. Not there to make you look stupid, I'm there to make your night even more enjoyable and have a laugh and relax.
Exactly.
That's what I do. I make people relaxed. I don't, you know, a lot of people, they go, oh, we've got a magician, and people sort of tense up and get a bit
scared.
I mingle in, how are you doing? You're all right, have a laugh. Take the piss out of their dress sense and that if I have to.
But that's the thing, you're not walking in like a top hat and like a...
I like that style, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's been done, hasn't it?
Yeah.
There's no other magician out there doing it in the sort of style I'm doing, you know, walking up in two-tone suits, a parka, stuff like that, I can't think there's anyone.
No.
Which is good, because I want to be different. I don't want to be like anyone else. No. I want to be completely different.
Don't want to be like anyone else. That's why I'm a mod.
Yeah, you see. That's it. Quadrophenia, a bit of Jimmy. Brilliant.
So what's going on in the world of Ben then? What's happening next?
A lot. You know, I've just come back from, a couple of weeks ago. I was at the Isle of Wight Festival and that was amazing. I was doing stuff with the Jack Daniels and This Feeling stage.
I saw that. I saw you did quite a cool reveal for it as well. I like that.
It's good, wouldn't it?
If you're not following The Magic Mod on Twitter, it's mainly Twitter. You're on the other bits, but it's mainly Twitter.
I like Instagram, but the thing is, I'm a bit like David Bailey on that. I had a look at how many, I put like 1,000 photos on there already, and I'm thinking, shit, I've got to calm down a bit. You know what I mean? But yeah, Instagram, I think it's Taylor Mod or Magic Mod 1.
Yeah.
Twitter is Taylor Mod, or type in Magic Mod, it comes up.
You'll find it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's...
I love it. You do these like little tricks a day, and then so that was your...
Yeah,
your...
So the reveal, they said to me, could you reveal being on the you know, at the Isle of Wight? And I thought, yeah, but I'm not doing a poster. Give me... And the next thing I knew, like that.
Can't
pretty similar to, you know, Noel writing that song.
Yeah,
I thought, right, this is how I'm going to do it. 10 minutes later, I wrote it out, had a little guideline. Next thing I know, I've done it.
Perfect.
First hit as well. I practiced it, and then I said, right, you know, like one practice, because you have to make sure it don't look shit. And I looked at it and thought, that looks good, that. So then I got it filmed, and it works brilliant. So the trick was a blank deck of cards, and I found the cards out. Found them both ways, and then before you know it reveals the Magic Mod playing at the Isle of Wight Festival with This Feeling and Jack Daniels. It sounds shit, me talking about it, but if you look at it, it'll blow your socks off.
Yeah. This is where an audio podcast doesn't really work, but there you go. But no, that's cool. And then so I know you're at that one, is it called Beano? Is it that's one down by the down
oh, yeah,
Hastings?
Yeah, with the
that looks awesome. That is
Embrace.
That is a ridiculous lineup if you're in the Britpop.
Embrace was another band that I really liked. One of my favourite songs was Nature's Law, and Ash. I liked Ashes as well. That got me really going.
That's a great track. Yeah.
But so a guy called Jess gave me an email. I'd done a gig with him before in Bournemouth, and he said, "Do you want to be part of this?" I went, "Yeah, brilliant, man." Yeah. And then he gave me the lineup. Fucking hell, that's special, isn't it?
Yeah. That is a proper... Yeah. If it wasn't like... Rewind is like cheesy 80s, yeah? But this is like cool 90s. These are bands that are like... They've either still stayed together or they're back. And it's McGee's a lot of it. McGee's doing creative management now, isn't he?
I think he's got a bit of say. And there's... You got the right... Oh, shit. Caster there, innit?
Blue Tones.
I forgot who was there then.
Embrace,
Black Grape, which would be brilliant.
Echo Belly, I think, back. You know, it's like bloody going to Glastonbury 95, 96.
Oh,
it's ridiculous. I'm like, that is my lineup.
Get on it.
I want to get down there.
I'll sort you out, mate. Yeah. Come down.
I'll sort me out.
You can carry my cards. Carry my cards.
I could probably carry a pack of cards. That's
all
right.
Yeah, you'll be all right, mate.
Yeah, you're not going to saw me in half
me.
Or anything, though. Like.
I could do the first part of that trick, but I can't piece that together.
Enough. See, that's another. That's obviously you get idiot like me saying you're gonna saw me in half.
So
you've
so
got to be ready
things.
With that.
Yeah. I get so many stuff like that. That's why you've got to be so quick. As soon as someone says something, I'm not like.
Yeah, you've got
you know
to
what I mean.
To come back
I never pause.
It.
I'm always like boom like that.
Because that's it. A magician is a comedian. Like you're like 70% magic, 30% comedy, right?
You know what? I don't even think the magic. My magic's 70%. Seriously, really. I mean, the magic speaks for itself. But most of the stuff I do is just. I love comedy. I've always loved comedy, and it is entertainment. All my life, I've loved making people laugh, even if it's at my expense. It doesn't matter. As long as people are having fun, that's all I care about.
Yeah,
that is all I care about, because, I mean, look at the world we live in today. It is a lot of things going on that you don't even want to talk about. So if I can bring a little, shine a little light, so to speak, and make people enjoy themselves and forget about whatever's going on in their world, forget about their problems, then wow, I'm happy. And that's cool. I've always lived by that.
No, that's awesome, mate. And what about the fashion side then? We haven't talked about that. So you're rocking some pretty green today, which is nice. So Pretty Green, you want to sponsor sponsor, give us some money as well?
It's bad, yeah. I love my fashion, absolutely love my fashion. I'm always in the Pretty Green shop. I love Merc, I love Luke 1977. I like a lot of it. Ben Sherman, Fred Perry.
Just a classic monster.
Classics, mate. I mean, I've never been into, like we said, tracksuits or stuff, Nike Adidas. I do like the Adidas original.
I like the
old stuff. I still like my old Fila, and I like Sergio Ticini. I like all that stuff. You know, like sort of like the 80s casual. Yeah, I like that look. I think that's really cool. But I can imagine me turning up for a gig in like one of them post-box Fila, you know, shell suits. And all that. Oh, I'll get ripped to shreds, won't I? But I've always loved fashion. I think fashion plays a massive part. If you walk up into a gig and you're looking really smart and slick, people expect, you know, people are going to be expected for a good show.
Yeah.
And that's everything I do, you know. I mean, too many magicians turn up in a suit and that. I like being different. I turn up, don't get me wrong, I'm always very well dressed.
Yeah.
I like wearing a bit of paisley, wear a nice parka. I love it. You know, I love fashion. Fashion is...
And what do you think of Pretty Green? I mean, like, the fact that Liam was very involved when he first started out and then he sort of stepped back a lot.
Yeah.
He may not be in Oasis anymore, but Liam Gallagher still commands a pretty big audience. Here he is, welcoming us all to his brand new clothes shop in London. Ugh, charming. Actually, Sky News had snuck in earlier to check out Liam's first dedicated outlet for his huge-selling Pretty Green range of clothes in London's iconic Carnaby Street. And we got to sit down with the man himself for an exclusive chat.
I'm a bit overwhelmed by it, actually, because I've not really seen it before, you know what I mean? As you come in, there's about 900 people here, so... You know what I mean? I come here the other day and there's nothing there, so it's good, man.
You said this wasn't a flash in the pan, this isn't me just...
Everything we do, man, isn't a flash in the pan, otherwise there's no point of doing it. I'm not here to sell papers or get a little headline, you know what I mean? You know, if we're going to do something, we're going to do it proper. I.e. music, films, clothes, drink, or whatever it is, you know what I mean? We don't fart about.
Yeah, you're busy at the moment, very busy in fact. You've got several different projects on the go.
Very busy, man. I'm doing the best record you'll hear for the next 50 years. It's not going to be out until next year, probably get a single out October, November, get people acquainted with it again and hopefully it'll be good, man. I'm looking forward to it, it sounds really good.
Liam's new band is called BDI, but he's also keeping one of his eyes on the film world. He's producing a new movie about the Beatles record company Apple. It's based on the book The Longest Cocktail Party.
I'm more worried about getting that book right than getting this right and my record right, you know what I mean? Because that's something... I'm not going to be so, you know, even the film, I'm not going to be in the film or making the film, you know what I mean? I'm going to be popping around the corner, but I'm all worried about getting that right because it's other people's lives.
Did I hear right, you're going to eventually move into women's clothes?
I'd like to, man. Kids, yeah, I have my fair share of women's clothes on a weekend, mate. Not a new thing for me, mate. But, might do a few bits and pieces, you know what I mean? Definitely going to kids, man, get some kids, some of these, like, shrunk and that. And maybe our kid gets some then, because he's a little fella, isn't he?
Very quickly, my mate at the beginning of the year, he put like a bet on 5-1 that Oasis would be back together before the end of the year. He's wasted 20 quid, right?
Is that all it was? 20 quid, yeah. Well, never mind. Happens, he won't be back by the end of the year. Only the reason why Oasis will come back is when his skint, and I'm far from skint, as you can tell. And I won't be skint for a long, long time, believe me, so it ain't going to be happening.
Can have a jacket then.
You can have one actually, yeah. What size are you?
Well, maybe I'd better go for a large, and we'll leave Liam to large it up himself behind the till of his new store. Steve Hargrave, Sky News.
I mean, the first line of stuff he brung out, I loved it, and I got a lot of the stuff. Really loved it because it was just simple.
It wasn't
well over the top. And now he's, don't get me wrong, I mean, I love the jackets. I've always worn the jackets. I like his leather range, and his black range was brilliant. But some of the stuff now is a bit like, hang about, you know what I mean?
I've seen a couple of things on there, you think, that doesn't feel, that doesn't feel on brand to me.
It's like someone was on acid when they were designing
it. Yeah,
you'd have to be on acid to wear it, in fairness, wouldn't you? I'm not really going to get a sponsorship deal after this now, am I? No. I'll take it all back.
This bit
out. Yeah. No, I mean, I do like a lot of it, but like I said, there's always going to be something. They've got to try and cater for everyone, haven't they? Not just the mod range and everything like the indie scene as well. They've got to try and bring in some other people. And then they brung out like all these like sort of skater jumpers and stuff like that, didn't they? And like really weird stuff. And you think, yeah, all right, yeah.
And they're trying to branch out a little bit differently in Beansborough. Yeah.
Because it's such a, if you just stuck to the mod scene, you couldn't do it, could you?
Yeah, you couldn't run out of ideas.
Of course you would. Yeah, you need to branch out much more, and that's what he's done. I do like the festival range he's done. Mm. That's really cool. Mm. Saw a lot of that at the Isle of Wight.
Oh, yeah.
Some really cool colours, like the purple, blue and black max. Really cool. I like that, yeah.
Oh, nice one. Well, we always end with an Oasis song, so give us some, I know you said
an Oasis song. You're not expecting me to sing it, are you?
Yes, please. You wouldn't mind. I've bought my acoustic guitar here, so if you want.
Right, can everyone be quiet in the bar?
No, we will be editing in an Oasis song. So,
my favourite song?
Well, not your favourite one, but to what you'd like to kick in now that you think would be good.
Do you know what? I like Live Forever because I just loved that whole... When I was there, I went... first time I saw that, well, the first time I ever... It was like really emotional over a song was when I went and saw him do it at Hammersmith Apollo when he was with BDI.
Oh, right.
And I weren't expecting it at all. I was right down the front. As you do, you know, mm-hmm. bit of a mosh pit and all that. And then he'd done that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And I just had to stop and relax.
Because at first they didn't play any Oasis at all, did they? So that was the second album, right?
B, wasn't it? First one's the same, different gears, still speeding. And it was just that, you know, like, which was brilliant. I loved it, absolutely loved it. Like, Four Letter Word, The Roller, Shine a Light. But then when he done the second album, that was tasty. Like, I still like a Flick of the Fingers, brilliant. Yeah. But for me, Soul Love was amazing.
That's a great show.
But when he done Live Forever, oh, Jesus Christ, everyone was on their phones. And I looked behind and it was just like a sea of lights and it was just amazing. And you think, I'm buzzing just being here. Imagine what he's feeling.
Yeah.
Amazing though, yeah. But I'd have to say Live Forever because it's a song I really like, and it means a lot. And I just love that. Oh, you know, Live Forever. What a quote.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And like you said, it was like, I don't know how true that is, but Noel has said that it was a reaction to hearing Nirvana singing "I Hate Myself and I Want to Die." Or like that was going to be the name of the next album.
Yeah,
and he said, "No, sod that. You know, we're not about that. We're about come on, we're going to live forever. Enjoy
crazy.
It, embrace it."
It's crazy. Yeah, it's cool. It just proves how powerful music is, isn't it? You know, Richard Ashcroft said, "Music is power," isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's a beautiful way to end it. So, Ben, the Magic Mod, thanks very much for your time.
You're welcome. The Oasis Podcast. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
So thank you very much to Ben Taylor, The Magic Mod, and make sure you checking him out all over the internet. Just search The Magic Mod, you'll find him, and come in soon to various venues near you. Especially that I really do like the look of that one Beano at the Pier at Hastings, which looks great. What an amazing lineup of Britpop stuff that is. So yeah, if you're in the area, go and check that out. There was no new iTunes reviews. You guys have let me down on that front. I'm very unhappy about that. However, I have had some cool reviews on the Facebook page. So I'm just going to give you a shout of a couple of those. So Remy Vasiluk said, "I've loved Oasis since seeing them as a 15-year-old at Nebworth. Since their music, fashion and my outlook on life has been inspired by them. 8 years on from their split, I still follow them and continue to enjoy their solo output. It's great that someone of a similar age who felt the same impact has got round to doing this podcast. I love the community ethos you are producing. The content and guests get better each week. Keep up the great work, our kid." Thank you very much, Remy. And then we had one on back in June from Craig Cooper, who said, only discovered this excellent podcast last week, but I've already listened to all the episodes except for the one with Tony McCarroll, saving it for the weekend. Keep up the good work. Thank you. David Ryder, on the 5th of July, said, great podcast, love it, keep it up. Me and my dog Lenny gets a good walk, which is great. Niall McKay said, kind of fell out of love with Oasis over the years, but this has rekindled my passion. Nice one, which is very cool. Mark Zisu said, great to have a podcast dedicated to Oasis. The interviews are excellent. Keep up the good work. And yeah, so thank you very much, guys. I do really appreciate all those reviews. So if you want to go and review it on Facebook, then that's cool. I don't get over on Facebook very much, but yeah, head on over there. Similarly, we're on Instagram, so get on over there if you want to and come and say hello. But the main place to get in touch is on Twitter. I just wanted to cover off all the stuff that's going on Twitter at the moment. If you head to the Patreon page, which is patreon.com/ Oasis Pod, then you'll see on there, I've done a recent article post just mentioning what we're doing at the moment over on Twitter. Basically, the big one that was going on previously was we've been looking all throughout the month of July at the been doing on Twitter this sort of 30-day song challenge, and at What's the Story 3, which is Anton Tell, who was a previous guest, he started that up as a 30-day Britpop challenge. So every day, me and him and quite a few other people have been chiming in and picking our favourite Britpop song for a certain theme. And yeah, that's been really good, and it's been really great to get lots of different memories, and just the way it works with the different categories, it does make you really think about other songs that you haven't heard for years, and it's great hearing other people's suggestions. So go and check that out. I think the hashtag is 30-day Britpop Challenge or 30-day Britpop Song Challenge, or just check out Oasis Podcast on Twitter and you'll find it. And then then what I've started doing over the last couple of days is we have been doing a World Cup of Indie, hashtag World Cup of Indie. And so, yeah, if you have a look at that article on Patreon, it sort of breaks it down a little bit more. But effectively what we're doing is I've got people to nominate bands from all kinds of different countries. Where there's more than one choice, we've been doing sort of eliminations to pick the bands to represent that country. So for the UK, we're currently in sort of the final to decide who that is between Oasis, the Stone Roses, and the Smiths, and unsurprisingly for the Oasis podcast, Oasis are winning quite comfortably. And then in the US, that's a bit closer at the moment. So the Killers, Kings of Leon, The Strokes, and Nirvana are the ones that are sort of in the final to choose who's going to represent the US. And at the moment, Nirvana are winning on 39%, but the Killers are on 30%. And the Strokes on 20%. And actually earlier in the day, the Killers were quite far ahead. So it's quite interesting how that sort of chopped and changed. That will be sort of decided by kind of Saturday afternoon. So if you get this in time, you could head over and decide that. If not, then just stay on focused on at Oasis Podcast and check out the hashtag World Cup of Indie, and you'll see all the different matchups coming up. So yeah, so stay in touch. It's good fun. And I have to give a shout out to a Twitter follower called Edgar, who is at Supernova Star. As we've been looking at these different bands from different countries, quite a few people from around the world have been giving me some different options from sort of the less obvious countries. And I forgot there was a German band I remember seeing on sort of MTV years ago, back when MTV was good and played music videos. And I couldn't remember what they were called, and sort of I put it out there, you know, who... I didn't give very much. I sort of said they were a German band. They kind of sounded a bit Belle and Sebastian-y, female singer, and their name had like three words in it. And he came back with it straight away. Wir sind Helden. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but yeah, Wir sind Helden. And yeah, I'd forgotten about this band. I really liked them. I couldn't find them for about 15 years. So, but as soon as I saw the name, I was like, yes, that's them. So thank you, at Supernova Star, for finding this long-lost band for me. And let's have a little bit before we sign off of Wir sind Helden. Ich denk, while you are over on Patreon, let's just remind you that at patreon.com you can sign up to be a supporter of the podcast. As you'll see, there's various levels to which you can support, and a couple of interesting ones at $3 or more. We will do a bespoke song for you. As at time of writing, I'm currently trying to sing a very complicated melody provided by my good friend Joel, who we do these songs with, and that is just being put together at the moment, and that will be probably, we'll play that on the next episode, but that should be good fun. And then we've got another one in the works, and then there are a couple of other people have inquired as well about signing up, so if you would like that, then yeah, get in touch. You can sign up for $3 a month, and that will get you a song. And also over on Patreon, that's where you can get out those you can see the really good articles, you know, sort of less good articles that I write, but then really good articles by Carl Cotter and by Richard Bowes. And I've also had inquiries as well from you know, from another couple of people who are interested in doing some stuff as well. So, you know, the best thing is to stay on the Twitter, and yeah, I'll let you know when there's other interesting stuff about Oasis, about Britpop, about new bands, whatever it is. So stay in touch. So there wasn't a huge amount of new Oasis news this week. Noel and Liam still out playing, but as I say, nothing earth-shattering. The one thing that was quite interesting is Liam did an interview over in LA with Zane Lowe, ex-Radio 1, now over on a station called The Beats that I think about 17 people listen to. So let's have a little bit of that here.
You know, Glastonbury had major fear of missing out watching Glastonbury, and seeing you come on and perform with the band, seeing Drew in the band was a nice touch.
Yeah,
and
he's
seeing
good, man. He's talented, man.
Looks good too. Looks healthy. Well, yeah. Looks well. You know, suits short.
I'll soon sort that out. I'll soon it.
But it was good, man. Seeing you come out and play the songs hard and fast.
Yeah,
man.
Well, if you want to come and hear Oasis music, it's done properly. Come to my gig. You know what I mean? Our kid's doing them like Dolly Parton. You know what I mean? You want to see him out properly, loud guitars and proper. Get around that. Come around my way.
Liam Gallagher. They let him back in America. He's here with us in Los Angeles. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, man.
So the next episode we've got coming up is with Nick Ingman. He was the guy that did all the strings and horn arrangements on Round Our Way and on The Master Plan and on Most of Be Here Now, which is great. And that's a really good episode, so I'm really looking forward to that coming out to you. And there's quite a few other irons in the fire that we're going to keep on top of, and hopefully we'll get some sort of more dates set up and fixed up for those ones. So that is really good. And as ever, if you can get me in touch with someone that was part of the Oasis story or has a particularly good story to tell, then do get in touch. Just to give you a heads up, I'm going to be away on holiday from August 23rd for about 10 days, so there may not be an episode throughout that period, but then we'll probably come back strong in September, because, as I say, we've got some really good irons in the fire, some really good potential episodes lined up. So I think that will about do it for now. Thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, especially thanks to our patrons, Casey, David, Fraser, Mike and Dana. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post articles by myself, and the wonderful contributors Richard and Kyle. Support $3 per month or above qualifies you for your own bespoke song. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me at oasispod@gmail.com. T-shirts are available at TeePublic, and please subscribe and review us on iTunes. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, stay young.